Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Kuf Hei and Shabbos. We are in Kuf Dal Amud Beis. And we started the Mishnah yesterday, and then we went a little bit into the Gemara. The Mishnah talked about writing two letters on Shabbos. If you do so, Behelam Echad. In one state of unawareness, you're going to be Chayav, but as long as you write with permanent ink. The Mishnah gave a number of examples of what is considered to be permanent ink. And then the Mishnah went on. The Mishnah talked about then writing on the walls. So you can write on the walls and you're going to be chayav, but the two letters you have to write are going to have to be contiguous one another. So in other words, you're going to have to write a letter on one corner and then you have to write a letter on its direct perpendicular wall. The Mishnah says you're going to be chayav under such circumstances. However, if they're not read together, if the two letters are not read side by side one another, so you're not going to be chayav. That was the next point that we discussed within the Mishnah. Before we go any further in the Mishnah, let's start with the Gemara. And let's start with a review of the Gemara. The Gemara started off by identifying what these permanent inks were, and as I mentioned yesterday, the Mishnah gave us the inks in the Lashon HaKodesh, and then the Gemara told us what their names are in Aramaic, and then I said if you want to even further advance the discussion, you can take a look at Rashi, where Rashi tells us what they're called in Old French. So, correct. I'm with you. I don't know any of them. I cannot identify any of them. The last one that's mentioned in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, I should say, Charta Dushkapi. Ushkapi is shoes. So apparently it's some sort of black shoe polish. Then Rashi gives a word. Okay. Anyway, Uvechol Davar Shu Rosh Shem, anything which makes an impression.
It's not a shoe polish. It's, when you're liquid that you dye the shoe black.
Oh, it's okay. Fine. A dye.
The shoe polish should come off, but. This is
more okay, permanent. Very good. So the what's our Mishnah coming to include? So Rashi says that this materia, some say it's minpri, it's a type of fruit. Some say it's rainwater. And afatzas, may afatzim, that's the gall nuts that we spoke about in the past. So in all those cases, if you write with material, afatza kasher, tani rabbi chia kasva ba'avak, b'shachar v'shichur kasher, if you write it with avak, with dust, or any of these things, it would be acceptable as well. These aren't permanent writings, and so you're not going to be chayv if you do so on Shabbos, but it's incorporated in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about things that do not have permanent writing to them. B'shachar v'shichur kasher. Hamisaret al-besar. Now, making etches in your skin. Now, I've heard, I really don't know, but I've heard that in order to get a tattoo, basically what they do is they cut up the skin, but then what they do is they fill it in with ink. So, Amisarad al-Basar, so what if you make scratches in your skin? So, Tanya Amalem Rabbi Lazo Chacham Allah Ben Sadata Hotzik Shafim Mimitraim Bistrita Shah Basaro. So, the Gemara tells a story about this Ben Sadata. Ben Sadata, we don't know who he is, at least as the Gemara itself presented, but whoever he may be, he's, for the time being, let's just call him a Meshuggah. Okay, that's that'll be the simplest way to describe him. So what he would do is he would leave Egypt and he would walk out of Egypt with witchcraft and sorcery. In other words, there were secrets in Egypt about witchcraft and sorcery. All you need is last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha to know that that's what Egypt was known for. So he went to Eretz Mitzrayim, so he got the secrets, and where did he write it? Meaning apparently when everyone left Egypt, so there was customs, right? They had to go through some sort of customs. So what he did is he inscribed it on his skin. So he scratched it out on his skin. But anyway, so Amru Lo, so they said, so what do you see over here? That's writing. So the Gemara's answer is, Amru Lo Shota Haya Vein Mivirim Rayim Min HaShotim. So, okay, so I said it was Meshuggah, so it's not me who says it. The Gemara says it. So he's a Shota, and therefore, Vein Mivirim Rayim Min HaShotim. Kazav Osa Achad Samach L'Ksav. Now, what about writing a letter to a pre-existing letter? Okay, so now some total, you have two letters, but you didn't write the two letters. You only wrote one next to the other that were already existed. So the Mishnah says you're not going to be chayv. Man tana amarava by Rav Huna deloka Rabbi Eliezer. Our Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Dalam and Beis is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to learn it today's Daf Kuf A, the first Mishnah of the 13th parak of Shabbos, the Malacha of Oreg, of weaving. And it happens to be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that if you already have a woven garment, a woven fabric, so if it's already woven, so you only need to add one thread in order to be chayav. So ostensibly, the Gemara says, it must be the same thing is true over here. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if I have one letter and I'm adding one letter, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, you should be chayav. And so the Gemara notes that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eliezer.
Is this the complete Ashir? The one thread completes Ashir?
Well, it's funny because in the upcoming Mishnah... Right, like right. It. and the Mishnah upcoming. Okay, very good, very good. The E Rabbi Eliezer Amar Achas Al Arik Chayv, because Rabbi Eliezer says Achas Al Arik Chayv. That's what we're going to see later on today's daf in the first Mishnah of the 13th Perek. So anyway, so and the Gemara says fine, right? Okay, that's our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. And that's pretty much what we would have expected. Rabbi Lazar is not a shita that is muskam. It's not agreed to. It's a minority position. But what we do learn, however, is that the Gemara's assumption seems to be intact, that the comparison between the malacha of Oreg is, in fact, fair to compare to the malacha of Kosev. They both have a shear of two. And if I already have a pre-existing and I add one on top of it, so then at least according to Rabbi Lazar, you're going to be chayv. Kasav agab iksav. Now, writing on top of writing. Now, presumably, this point in the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, our Mishnah says that if you already have writing, and I'm just writing on top of it, so in other words, tracing, I'm tracing already existing writing, so that our Mishnah says that's not the malacha of Kosev. Shabbos would be asked to do it, but it's not a malacha. It seems that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Did Tanya Harishaya Sarach Lichtov as Hashem? V'nizkav Lichtos Yehuda. V'tav Elohito Bodalid. Ma'avir Alav Komuz and Mekarish Div Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the case is a bizarre case, but it is making a point. You need to write, in other words, you're writing a Sefer Torah. And you need to write Shem Hashem. Shem Hashem is four letters, Yud Kei Vav Kei. And so I'm sitting there and I'm about to write Shem Hashem. Now, at the time when I'm about to write it, so, whatever, my head's somewhere else. And I say to myself, oh, I'm not going to write Shem Hashem now. I'm going to write the name Yehuda. Okay, why he thought that, who knows. We're all human. We're all fallible. And then as I'm writing the word Yehuda, I leave out the Dalet. So, when all said and done, what did I write? Hashem. I wrote Shem Hashem. I wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei. The problem, of course, is I didn't have Kavana. And, right, your son will speak to this. So, you can't, whenever you write Shem Hashem, it has to be with Kavana. Then I'm writing Shem Hashem. So, that's a problem. So, what's the solution? So, Rabbi Yehuda says, well, take your pen and trace over the four letters Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that solves the problem. So what do you see over here? That at least according to Rav Yehuda, tracing over letters works. That's considered writing. So it would seem to be that our Mishnah is not going like Rav Yehuda. And the Chacham disagree. So if I am Oreg one string and it finishes the Begin, or if I write one letter and it finishes the Sefer, you're going to be Chayiv. Man Tana Marava Bar Rav Huna Rabbi Eliezer Hidamar Achas Al Arik Chayiv. So the first response of the Gemara is, okay, that's Rabbi Eliezer. Like we will see later on this morning, like we already saw previously in the Gemara, it's Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Temer Rabban Lashlim Shani. And this is the point you were making earlier, Phil. No, in other words, it could be that this is not just Rabbi Eliezer Shita. It could be that if I'm finishing, so finishing a product is Makib Patishin, so therefore you're going to be Chayiv, and it's not just limited to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Rabbi Ami Kasav Osachas B'Tver V'Achas B'Tzipori. I write one letter in Tveria and one letter in Tzipori, Chayiv. Ksiva hi Eloshe Mechusar Kreva. Now it is Ksiva. The only problem is that I just got to put the two letters together. But otherwise, it is the Malacha of Kosev. To which the Gemara says, wait a second, that doesn't seem to be like what we learned in our Mishnah. So Vahatana, Kasav Ashne Kosle Abais, Vashne Dapi Penchas Vein, Negim Zaim Zepater. So the problem, of course, is that that does not go together with our Mishnah. We learned in our Mishnah that if the letters are not written contiguously one next to the other, you're not going to be Chayiv. So how could it be that if I write one letter in Tveri and one letter in Tzipori, I am going to be Chayiv? It's an obvious question. Hasa mechusa maisa de kreva, hacha la mechusa maisa de kreva. So the Gemara says, well, it's different. Because in the case of writing on the wall, or writing on the notebook, what if I want to get those letters one next to the other, I'm going to have to start doing things, demolishing the wall, ripping out the pages. In other words, there will be a mechusa maisa. There will be an action that's going to be missing, and I'm going to need to fill in, supplement an action in order to get the letters one next to the other. That's why in those cases in our Mishnah you're going to be Pater. Masha ain't Cain, if I wrote a letter here and I wrote a letter here, and all I got to do is just walk one next to the other, that the Gemara says, not Mechusa Maisa, you're not missing anything. Hence, therefore, you're not going to be Chayv. The Gemara says you're going to be Pater. Tosh is on the age-old question of, can I play Scrabble on Shabbos? Keeping score, by the way, that's not a problem. In other words, you get a really thick, you get a thick book. Yeah. Well, what about playing Scrabble on Shabbos? So it sounds like from a Gemara would be fine. Meaning, if all I'm doing is just taking letters and moving one them one next to each other, that's not ksiva. In other words, the letters are already written. I'm just moving them one to another. That's not a significant act. So it's again, I'm not your posek and the ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but which seem from a Gemara that would be fine. If I write one in Tveria and I write one in Sipari, I'm going to be chayv. Here, I didn't write. I'm just putting them together. Right. Yes, yeah, so that I was wondering. This is a good question, and I was wondering the same thing myself. I don't know. The Sipari and Tveria are not far from one another. Correct. They're not. It's not next.
I don't think it has anything to do with the Shabbos. And, you know, the fact is that technically right. They could be slacked
right.
Together.
Okay, but your point is well taken. Okay. Back to the Gemara, So the Brisa really doesn't make any sense. If I proofread one letter, so you're going to be chayev. What does that mean? So even writing a letter, you're not going to be chayev. So proofreading a letter? So Amrav Sheshitach Mamaiskin Kagon Shanat Lulagago Shaches Vasnu Shnei Zainim. So what did you do? You took the letter Ches and you separated the letter Ches, and what you did is you created two Zains. There are two popular ksivas of how to write stam, write a Sefer Torah, write tefillin, write mezuzah. One is called Ksav Beis Yosef, based on the opinion of Rav Yosef Cairo, and the other is Ksav Ari, right, which is more popular amongst the Hasidim, and the your son, if I would guess, your son probably writes Ksav Ari, right, probably. It's one of the, there are a number of differences. I'm not a sofer, I should have invited Rabbi Rosenfeld to come speak today, but one of the main differences is how to write the letter Ches. And it sounds like from our Gemara that the letter Ches is comprised of two Zines next to one another. So in other words, the Ches really has, it's not just a rectangular shape, in other words, but the top is extending in both directions outside of the leg. Certainly that's how it sounds like from our Gemara. And that is, if I'm not mistaken, that's Ksav Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef writes like that. So that would be proof for Ksav Beis Yosef. The Avasu Shnei Zainim, Rav Amar Kigon Shanat Lule, Tago Shal Dalet V'Asu Reish. What you did is you took off the Tag of the Dalet, right, the back end of the Dalet, and you turned it into a Reish. And by doing so, I mean, Rashi points out, that's just one letter, so why are you going to be chayv for one letter? The pasuk says, they shouldn't have any avla in your house, anything that's corrupt. And it would be similar to what we discussed just a moment ago, explains Rashi, where I finished the book, I finished the Sefer. So by writing one letter, you finish the Sefer. Here also, if the letter that needed to have been written was a Dalet, a Reish, and I wrote a Dalet, and I just rub out the edge of the Dalet, the Tag of the Dalet, to convert it to a Reish, so assuming that now the Sefer is Kasher, so that's the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish. Yeah. I assume so. So the last brisa that we see on this amud is, what if I have kavanah to write one letter, and instead by accident I write two letters? So like we just discussed, Rashi gives the example that we just discussed, I wrote the letter Ches, and by accident, instead of writing Ches, I wrote two Zions. So the brisa says you're going to be chayv. Atanan Pater, the Gemara says, yeah, but I have another brisa that says that you're Pater. The Gemara gives a very simple answer. If I need Zions, so then obviously it would be a malacha. If I didn't need the Zions, so then enachinami. Then I didn't do what I wanted to do, and therefore it's not going to be a malacha. Okay, and the last thing that we discussed in our Mishnah is no treacle.
If you have a chess and makes two Zions, then makes a thing, then by the time you write a two zayin, is that the malocha, even though you intend to make a ches?
In other words, he started by the two legs.
Well, that's where you write it. You make two zayin.
Right, and then you fill the top. Okay. I guess the case over here, I assume the case over here is that he finished by writing two zines.
Maybe they're too close. Okay,
could be. Could be. The last thing that we discussed in the Mishnah is no trikon. No trikon is when instead of writing the word Rebbe, so you write a resh with a little chupchuk, and the Mishnah brings down a machlokas whether you're going to be chayev. It's a machlokas amongst the Tanayim. It's the last thing that we learned in our Mishnah. Rav Yeshua ben Misera is mechayev v'chachamim pochim. Okay, so the accepted halacha is that you would be potter. You're not chayev for writing no trikon, but it is a way of writing. Meaning, not only is it a way of writing, I mean, we could have made this point, but in other words, what the Gemara now is going to argue is that even the Torah writes bederech no trikon. The Torah writes Rashi Tevas. So the Gemara is going to give a number of examples. Kasav Osachas no trikon Rav Yishum and Meser Mechay v'chacham and Ponchumam Rav Yochem Yishum Rav Yosi ben Zimra Minay Lalasha no trikon min haTorah. Meaning that this is already found in the Torah. So for example, Shenamar Ki Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha. So when Avram was given a bracha at the Bris Ben Abisarim, so he says, you're going to be Av Hamon Goyim, a father to many nations. So it's not Bris Ben Abisarim.
His name is changed.
Right, it's when his name gets changed, right. I was thinking Perek Yizayin, no, that's back in Parshas Vayeh, in Lech Lecha. Okay, so his name is changed from Avram to Avraham. Ki Av Hamon Goyim, and now, you see how in the Gemara, when it says the words Av Hamon, it's got a little chipchik, because the Gemara is going to understand that this is derech no trikon. Av nesaticha, that's the aleph. Lumos, bachor nesaticha beumos. You're going to be the bachor, the oldest, so to say, the choicest. Hamon is chaviv nesaticha beumos. Hey and ches, always interchangeable. So the hey is chaviv, you're going to be beloved. Melech nesaticha beumos, that's obviously the mem. Vatik nesaticha beumos, you're going to be like the elder statesman. And ne'eman nesaticha leumos, and you're going to be trustworthy amongst the other nations. So that's Av Hamon. Each letter symbolizes a different attribute of what Avraham is going to be. Rav Yochanan didei amar Anochi no trikon. The Anochi that comes up in the Aseret HaDibros, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the word Anochi is actually no trikon, which is Ananafshi Ksivat Yehavit. I myself wrote it. Obviously, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking. I myself wrote it, and I gave it. That's Anochi. Rabbanan Amrei, Amira Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva. I wrote something which is very pleasant, and I gave it. Again, another notrikan of Anochi. Igad Amrei, Anochi Lamafred. Now, some do it backwards, which is Yehiva Ksiva Ne'emanim Amarei. I gave pleasant words, which I said over. Debei Rabbi Nasan Amra ki yarat haderech. Another example, Bilam and this donkey. So ki yarat haderech lenegdi, yire ra'asa natasa. The word yarat is no trikun for yira, I was afraid, because he saw the malach. Ra'asa, I saw it. Natasa, and I turned to the side. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Carmel. The Gemara, that's the Parshas Emor. What we bring on Shavuos. So kar malay, in other words, the grain's got to be very full. Ravach Rabbi Yaakov Amar v'hu kalalani kalalan nimretzes, and he gave me a kalan nimretzes. Did we just read this at Asa Haftorah? Yeah, right, I think we did. And this is when David was running away from Avshalom, and he was cursed, by Shimon ben Gera. And he gave me kalala nimretzes, and the Gemara understands nimretzes is bederech no trikon. No efu, meaning these are the accusations levied by Shimi ben Gera against David HaMelech. David HaMelech is a no efu, obviously he's referring to Bathsheba. Malavihu, he's referring to his great-grandmother Rus. Rotzeachu, he's a killer, he's referring to Uriah. Sorer, who he's an enemy of the Jewish people. Toeva, who he's disgusting. These are the kalalos that are levied from Shimi ben Gera towards David HaMelech. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Man Nedaber Uman Nitzadak. Now Nitzadak is, on the simplest level, could just simply mean we're not righteous. But the Gemara is going to understand that also. B'derech Notrikan Nechonim Anachnu Tzadikim Anachnu Tahorim Anachnu. Right, we are right. We are Tzadikim. We are Tahorim. Dakim Anachnu. We're pure. Kedoshim Anachnu. We're Kadosh. Okay. So a number of examples of what no trichin is. It's so interesting because the point the Gemara is trying to make is that no trichin works, meaning it's the derech haTorah is the right derech no trichin. So then what you could have said is, okay, that's the halacha is now like Rav Yoshua ben Bezerra that says that if you write b'derech no trichin on Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv. But I guess despite all this, despite the fact that this is already the Torah instructing us that this is the correct way to write, still the halacha is not going to follow like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yoshua ben Bezerra. Okay, one last Mishnah, one last Gemara that we need to do. We've seen this already before, but here is the primary source of this discussion. The Mishnah starts off a kosev based osios b'shtei halamos. So I write two letters and I do it b'shtei halamos. So that means as follows. That I write one letter, having forgotten that it was Shabbos, okay? And then all of a sudden I come to, oh no, today's Shabbos. Shouldn't have written that letter. Okay, but he did. So did he violate the Malacha on Shabbos? No. Yeah, in order to violate Malacha on Shabbos, you have to write two letters. And then what happened is that he lapsed back into a state of unawareness. He forgot either it was Usher, or he forgot it was Shabbos, after already having remembered it was Shabbos. Okay, but that's the human brain. We do that. So the Mishnah says, Bezotios b'shei alamos, achas shachris v'achas bein arbayim. Or the Mishnah gives what seemingly is another case. I write one letter in the morning and one letter in the afternoon. Excuse me, Rabbi Gamliel's mechayev. The Chacham and Pocher, Rabbi Gamliel says you're going to be chayev, and the Chacham says you're going to be pater. Now, what's the issue over here? The Gemara goes on to explain, but my kemiflegi, Rabbi Gamliel savar, e yedi lechatzi shir, Rabbi Gamliel savar, yesh yedi lechatzi shir. So this machlokas, again, we've seen already a number of times in our Masechta, but here it is. In other words, the Gemara speaks about it. I mean, it's all three lines of Gemara. But right over here, what you have is a very fundamental debate whether or not you can have a yidia for a half a shir. The shir of writing is two letters. I had a yidia bein time between writing letter number one, letter number two. So Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion, ein yidia lechatzi shir. That does not constitute a yidia. So therefore, where I told you, yidia does two things. Number one, yidia basically is mechayv you a karbon. Once you find out what you did, and as we've been discussing throughout the Masechta, we talked about this at length in the seventh parak of Shabbos, a yidia is mechalik. It divides two acts. Rabbi Gamliel is of the opinion that if it doesn't divide two significant acts, it's not going to be mechalik. Writing one letter followed by then writing another letter, they're not significant. And it's not significant because it's not the malacha. The malacha is only when I write two. So Rabbi Gamliel therefore says, you had a idea between, but it doesn't divide, so therefore you ended up writing two letters, behalam echad, in one state of halama. That's the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel, and obviously the Chachamim disagree. Take a look at Tosfos over here, where Tosfos discusses, how does Rabbi Gamliel know this? Meaning, the Gemara just says it, but the Gemara doesn't give any hesber, any type of explanation. So how does Rabbi Gamliel know this? So if you take a look at Tosfos inside, the second Tosfos, and he suggests the following. Nira, de tam de Rabbi Gamliel, amishum dechsev, o hoda elav chataso. Yediyas chatas hu deshma yediya, aval yediya delav chatas lo shma yediya. Meaning that in order to be chayv a karbon chatas, there has to be a shear, a minimum amount. What Rabbi Gamliel says is that's not just true for the karban chatas, that's also true for the yediyah. The yediyah needs a shear, meaning the pasuk says, he quotes, Oho da elav chataso. He learns about his sin. So in other words, on Shabbos, it's not a chen until I write two letters. So in other words, a yediyah of a half a shear is simply not a yediyah. Okay, that's how Tosfos understands the source of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, excuse me. Okay. Now, one other point to discuss, and then we're going to move on to the next Mishnah. Our Mishnah over here speaks about two cases. One case is a case where I write one letter, remember that it's Shabbos, lapse into forgetfulness again, and write a second letter. And then the Mishnah gives another case, which is I write one letter in the morning and one letter in the afternoon, in the late afternoon. So the Mishnah brings down in both of those cases are machlokas. Now, what happened between the morning and the afternoon? So Rashi writes, "Acha shachas v'achas bein arba'im, came in the havalei shows bein tayim, kidei leida havalei kishtei ha'alamos." So Rashi writes that since there's much time between the writing in the morning and the writing in the afternoon, it's like, it's ki'ilu, you're having shtei halamos, it's two halamos, because I guess you're kind of, how can you not find out that there was Shabbos in the middle? Now, back in the seventh parak, we had an argument similar to this Rashi, but that went from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, right? Do you remember? Where we talked about how if I was Mechal Shabbos and then Mechal the next Shabbos, and it was all one state of shogeg, but I'm going to be chayv a carbon for every Shabbos, because how could we go an entire week without knowing that it was Shabbos, that what we experienced was Shabbos? So, but here it's interesting, Rashi brings it down, not just from week to week, but from the morning until the late afternoon. Tosos does not agree with Rashi. In fact, if you take a look at Tosos, the next Tosos on the Amud, Perish Bekuntras Had Denakan Osach Hashachos Achas Bein Arbayim Kevin Dehavi Shavos Bein Time Kedei Lei Dechashiv Kishtei Halamos. It's like two Halamos. Ve'ein Nira. Tosos says, I really don't think that's correct. Chada Dehavi Lelefari Shir Shavos. First of all, if that's true, so shouldn't we know how much time needs to lapse in order so that it's treated now like two Halamos? Meaning, what Rashi is saying is a big chiddush. What's the shear? If in fact a long gap is considered shtei alamos, so we should know what the gap is. The Gemara would want to talk about that. The Gemara doesn't. And do you remember that we talked earlier about writing one letter in Tzipor and writing another letter in Tveria? And we said earlier you're going to be chayav afagav de mistama yeshas kedei leida. Now, when you walked from Tzipori to Tveria or vice versa, that was a long time.
What about Tchum?
Your friend, your partner asked me that question as well. I didn't know. V'nira demari shiyada bein time v'achas shachas v'achas arbaim naka l'rabusa. So Tosa says, so really I don't agree with Rashi, because Rashi is saying a big chiddush, and Tosa says it really is too big. This idea that if there's a gap in between, if there's a lapse in between, there's got to be, it's ki'ilu shtei yedias. Tosa says no. Truth of the matter is that even in this case over here, you had a yedia. It's not ki'ilu you had a yedia. You actually did have a yedia bein time. And so what then, according to Tosos, is the Mishnah introducing us to? Is that it's a chiddush. The af agav diyesh ima yedia hefsek v'shaos gadol bein time. Even in this case, where I had a yedia in between, and there was a long break between writing my first letter and my second letter, still Rabbi Gamliel says that you're going to be chayev, so it's a chiddush vis-a-vis Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, but it's interesting, Tosus does not agree with Rashi that a large gap is treated ki'ilu, it's as if it was two shtei yedias. Hazal HaChabona, that is the end of the 12th parak of Shabbos, and now we begin the 13th parak. 13th parak of Shabbos goes with, starts off with the topic of Ariga. And again, in other words, we know we generally are working backwards now in the Malachos, but as we mentioned already, it's not precise. In other words, the Mishnayos over here are really not precise. If you take a look at the Malachos, which are found on Ein Gimel, so we already discussed the Malacha of Hotza'ah, that was the 11th parak, and then working backwards, we discussed Makeh B'Patish, and we discussed Boneh, and so Ser, and now if you're working backwards on the Mishnah, the next malachas we should be covering are the malachas of Tzatzvi, Shochet, Mavshit, Moleach, Mavet es Oro, meaning we should be doing all those like preparation of hide malachas. And we skip all that, and we go all the way back now to the weaving and stitching. Okay, so I mentioned already that it's not, in other words, we're kind of working our way backwards, but it's not totally precise. Maybe, the Gemara made the comparison today between Ksiva and Ariga, meaning it's two. So maybe that's why the Mishnayos over here talk about Oreg. Okay, maybe. Here's a challenge. I don't know much about how to weave. Okay, and it makes my job understanding the Gemara difficult. We should take a field trip. I know we talked about field trips in the past. We should take a field trip and watch the weaving process so that we really understand what's going on. At least I, the presenter of the daf, have a clue as to what it means to weave. I really know. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ha'arig Shlosha Chutim B'tchil of Achas Al Ha'arig Chayev. So first the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that the shear of Ariga of weaving is three strings. Now, you know that weaving, the way weaving works is that there's a horizontal and there's a vertical. The vertical is called the Shesi and the horizontal is called the Erev. I know the words. I just, you know, the words. I don't have a picture in my mind of how all this works. So the
Right. Put one like that. Let it know.
Correct. Correct. And you're weaving in between the two. I got the general sense. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, to be chayav on Shabbos, so you have to weave three strings. In other words, once you have your shesi set up, so now you're going to have three strings going through, three horizontal strings going through, and then you're going to be chayav. Or, says Rabbi Eliezer, if I already have existing horizontal strings, I add one more, and I'm going to be chayav. So the shir for Rabbi Eliezer is either three or one. Three if you're starting off, one if you're adding on to an already existing woven fabric. And the Chachamim say, no, it's a standard shear of two chutin, of two strings. And it does not matter whether you started or whether you're adding on, the shear is going to be objectively always going to be two. Setting up the loom. Now, the way you set up a loom is that basically you have two boxes, if you will, and what you're going to do is you're going to end up basically making a string from the top of the box to the bottom of the box with an eye in the middle of that string, and through that eye, you're going to put all the vertical strings, the chassis strings. And that way you're able to, by simply taking the cards and lifting one up and bringing one down, you're now going to be separating every other string so that now the Erev can go right through, and hence you're going to weave. Setting up two Batei Nirin is going to be chayav. Now, that's not true for just weaving fabric. It's also true if you're weaving a basket. Same story. But now, from the kavra v'sal chayav, you're going to be chayav. And then the Mishnah talks about tefira, about stitching. Hatofer-based tefiros, v'akorei amanasot for-based tefiros. If I stitch two stitches, or if I tear in order to stitch two stitches, you're going to be chayav. The Gemara starts off, Kiyasa, Rabbi Yitzhak, Tanishtayim. So he quotes the Brisa, and the Brisa says two. V'anan tanan gimel, v'akasha ha-ba'ali me'ha-be'ketini. Now, the Brisa that he quotes, just so everyone understand, is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning it's got to be, because otherwise it's not a kasha. Meaning, if I'm quoting a Brisa that says two, I'll just simply tell you that the Brisa is going like the Chachamim. But clearly the Brisa that he quotes is expressing the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you're chayiv if I weave two strings, and meanwhile in our Mishnah we learned it has to be three according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, Lokasha ba'alima ha'pektina, depends whether the strings are thick or very thin. Now, which way are we going to go? So Amila lahagisa ve'amila lahagisa. So the Gemara says, I can go really either way on this. Amila lahagisa alima tlasa, that if they're very thick strings, I have to weave three. Why? Lo sasre. Because the strings are so thick, unless I do three, they're going to become undone. In other words, they're not very bendable. Lo sasre, trey sasre. Ketina, but if they're really thin strings, trey nami, lo sasre. But really thin strings, if I weave two of the horizontal, the Erev, so they're going to be chayav because two are going to stay in place. That's one way we could do it. So now we can really go another way, which is ketini tlasa, yedia, trey, lo yedia. If the strings are really thin, I need three because otherwise they're unobservable. They're so small, they're so thin, that really I won't be able to observe the product of the loom until I have all three of them on. However, alima, but if they're really thick strings, trey nami, yedia. Two are also going to be observable and visible. Okay, so stira within Rabbi Eliezer, whether it's two or whether it's three. Resolution of the stira talks about, one's talking about thin strings, the other one's talking about fast strings. But the Gemara says really could have gone either way in terms of how to answer up for Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya Ari Gimel Chutin Betchil Vechan Al Ari Chayev. The Tanakama of this Brisa says it's either three or one. We know who that is. That's Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim Amrim Bein Betchil Bein Besof Shiron Beis Chutin. Uvis Safa. Now when you get to the edge, Beis chutin berochav gimel batinirim. It's going to be two strings that go across at least three eye loops. Halama zedomela orek sotsokata. It's like making a small belt. Beis chutin berochav gimel batinirim, which is basically the shear of making a small belt. Va'orek gimel chutin betchila ve'echad al arichayev. Stama karebi Eliezer. And the Gemara just simply points out that the first opinion of that braisa is none other than Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya Idach, we learned in another braisa. Harig beis chutin al ha-gas ve'al ha-imra chayev. Two strings on either gas or imra, part of the begin. So Rabbi Lazar omer afilo echad, Rabbi Lazar says, no, if I'm already adding to a begin, the shear is going to be one. Over safa, now when you get to the edge, shnechutim rocha shoshabate nirin chayev, halamad zedome, la orik sotel katan, it's like making a small belt. Now this brisa, the tanukam of this brisa, shnechutin arochav, beiz bate, I'm sorry, al gimel bate nirin va orik beiz chutin, al gaz va amir chayev, stoma karabanan. Okay, the beginning of that brisa is going like the chachamim, not like Rabbi Eliezer. Haose beiz bate nirin, my ba nirin, okay, now at this point in time, I'm admitting to you I am lost. Meaning, please take a look at Rashi. Rashi tries to help us understand what exactly is the innovation, the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah uses a lashon of batinirim, banirim. And the Gemara somehow says that it's a process that's slightly different than the normal process of weaving. And even though there's a small deviation from the normal process of weaving, you're still going to be chayev. What exactly that small deviation is, so I'm tapping out, meaning I'm really not sure. But whatever the case is, it is a small deviation, and they're still going to be chayav. That's what we learn out from the Mishnah. Bekeros, my Bekeros, Amarav, Mitsu Visa. The Irios Garden Haorgan Berego, Hu Korin Limps. So Rashi also describes this is also a slight deviation from what's normally done. It's done with the feet. And still, nevertheless, that's that loom that's operating with the feet. Maybe it's the pedals to move the loom. I'm not really sure. Anyway, either way, you're going to be chayev. Hatofer based firos, now stitching two stitches. Now, hatanina bavus malachus hatofer based firos. So the Gemara's question is very simple. What are we learning in our Mishnah that we already don't know? The first in that Mishnah in the seventh parak back on 9 Gimel, so it already says that if I stitch two stitches, I'm going to be chayev. So granted that our Mishnah is telling us more depth and more detail, but what exactly is the more depth and more detail? It's the same. So Mishim Dekabai Limits Nesefer V'Akoreya Menasit for Beis Tviros K'tani Nami Atofer V'Akoreya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we're learning in our Mishnah that's new is that if I tear, how much are you going to be chayv when you tear? And the answer is going to be the same amount in terms of stitching, meaning stitching two stitches. So the amount of tearing is also the size, the shear of two stitches. Hanami tanin ba'avos malachos. The Gemara says again, we knew that already. That's what it says on Daf Ein Gimel. So what new feature are we learning in our Mishnah? The Gemara acknowledges, and the Gemara says, you're right. Elam mishum dekabayin lemisne seifa korea b'chamasol v'ameso mishum hachi kitani atofer shtei tfiras. Okay, so what we gain over here is that it's the next Mishnah which really is the part which we haven't learned yet, which is, we're going to see the Mishnah in just a moment, what if I tear because I'm angry? So that's what we have not yet learned, and that's why the discussion comes up over here of Korea, meaning you're right. Korea in of itself, the shear of Korea, we knew from Daf Ayin Gimel. But what if you're Korea when you're angry? HaKorea menas l'tfor shtei tfiros, hachi hechi mishkachala, da'avda ki kisasa. Now the Gemara says, now what good is it? I'm tearing something that is two stitches worth. So the Gemara says, when you want to make the beged like a pocket. What does that mean, like a pocket? Rashi goes on to explain, ha'olechus umitzkapela she'ina beged shave uvolet bebeged kimin kiss. Meaning the beged kind of like a pocket. It has folds in it. And in other words, if I stitch it right now, it's not going to be a smooth stitching. Kimin kiss v'tzarech likra beged lamatel malal lefanav. So by me first tearing it and then stitching it, I'm going to have a nice, even stitch. So that's why Korea, as long as Korea, I'm not lit for, you're going to be chayev. Okay. And now we start with the next Mishnah. And certainly, this is an exciting topic of discussion, which is going to come up now. And that is the following. Korea b'chamaso, the almeso. Two cases in the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah is, I'm angry. And in order to assuage my anger, to calm me down, so I tear. Okay, get it out. So the Mishnah says, if I korea b'chamaso or meso, now meso presumably means that rachmon letzlan, a person has one of his krovim who die, and so there's a mitzvah of kriya. You tear kriya over the mace. V'chol ha-mekalkalin peturin. And the Mishnah essentially tells us you'd be pater. You'd be pater if you tore kriya b'chamaso, and you'd be pater if you tore kriya al-meso. Now, the argument you could have made is it's productive. Well, you're almost hitting it right on the head. The Gemara is going to invoke Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa. So you'll see. So so what you could have argued is this is productive, meaning if I'm angry and I'm no longer angry, that's great. Or, Rachmel HaSan, if there's a mace, so you're doing a mitzvah by doing Kriya. So our Mishnah says that you would be Potter. So hold on to that thought, as we're going to discuss it when we get to the Gemara. Now, if I do something destructive, but my end goal is to do something constructive, so the shir is kimetaken. Shir amalamin v'amnafetz v'atzoveya v'atove. Now, whitening, bleaching. Menafetz, combing out the wool. Atzoveya, dyeing. Tove, spinning. Kemelo rachav hasit kafol. So the thread, the amount of thread that you have to use in order to be chayiv, is going to be the distance between your thumb and your pointer as they are spread out one from the other. Okay, so whatever that distance is going to be. 3-4 inches, whatever the case is. And then, ha'oreg shnei chutin, shi'ur kamala haset. And if I weave two strings, so there, it's kamala haset. The distance between your first finger and your second finger as they are spread out. Okay, so in other words, this is sit kaful, and this is kamala haset. Good. V'rimenu, the Gemara points out that there is a simple discrepancy between our Mishnah and a Brice. The Brice says, akoreh b'chamaso, uve evlo, the almeso, chayev. If you do kriya because either you're angry or because you're an avelus, or over a mace, you're going to be chayev. Afa pishe mechal shabbos yatsi yidei kriya. Now, even though you're a mechal shabbos, but you were yotzei yidei kriya, in other words, the kriya was an effective kriya. You fulfill the mitzvah of kriya.
Is it a minhag or a mitzvah? Is it
kriya? It's not absolutely saying the Torah, but it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do so. We'll call it a mitzvah derabanan. We'll call it that. So anyway, so v'afa pishim mechal shabbos yatsi yedei kriya. So now, obviously, we are at a serious impasse because our Mishnah says that if I'm korea, either because I'm angry or because of a mace. So our Mishnah says you'll be potter because you're mekalkal. That's a destructive act. And at Shabbos, you're only chayv if you do something constructive, not destructive. Oh, that's that's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asked that question. I got that courtesy of your friend over here. But okay. Meanwhile, our Brisa says, no, you're going to be chayv. Even though you're mechal Shabbos and you fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriya, and you're going to be chayiv, meaning that's considered a constructive act. Lokasha b'meis tideh ha-b'meis ta'alma. Okay, so our first answer is like this. Well, it really depends on the type of mace that we're talking about. Meaning if it's meis tideh, meaning the Brisa says that you're chayiv, is talking about a mace that you're obligated to do the mitzvah of kriya. That's what we're going to call a meis tideh. So because you're obligated to do so, so for you, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, it's a constructive act. But if it's meis da'alma, if it's just tam, somebody died, but it's not a relative of mine, so then you're not going to be chayiv. It's not considered a constructive act. The meiso ketani, the Gemara says, okay, it's a great answer, but it doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, akore b'chamaso ve'al meiso. The Mishnah uses a possessive language. So la'olam b'meis tideh v'hanach t'la b'nei avelos ninu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, what you could suggest is that there is an obligation to bury him. However, it's not a relative of yours. So in other words, there may be a mitzvah to bury, but there's no mitzvah for you to do kriya. So the ichacham u'chiyuv mechayev. And now the Gemara is going to go through a whole series of scenarios where you should know there's a mitzvah to do kriya even though it's not your relative. So first of all, if it's a tamei chacham, so there's a mitzvah to do kriya. D'tanya chacham shemeis hakol krovav. Everyone is the chacham's relative. Now, cannot take this literally. Hakol krovav sakadach. What does that mean? Everyone's his relative. Elaim hakol ki krovav. What the brisa means is everyone is like his relative. Hakol korin alav. Hakol cholsin alav. Hakol mavrin alav berachva. Everyone does kriya. Everyone takes off their shoes. Everyone gets the sudas havra, the meal after the burial. So the Gemara says, fine.
Who's going to make from it,
didn't he? Right. Right, who's left? So the Gemara says, fine. So he's not the Amish is talking about somebody who's not a chacham. The Gemara says, okay, but you don't even have to be a Talmid Chacham. The halacha is that even for an Adam Kasher, now, I don't know how to put that in the most legal of terms, but Adam Kasher just simply means he's a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Okay, good guy. Okay. So, you're obligated to do kriya. The tanya will enter the brisa. The brisa. Now, I'm warning you. The first way the brisa is presented to us, it's really difficult. The Gemara is going to iron out the brisa, but the brisa starts off by saying, "Why is it that a person's children die when they are very young?" So, kedeshiv kavita abal adam kasher. So that the father of the child will be misaba, will be able to mourn in Adam Kasher Kadeshi Yivka. The Gemara says so that he will mourn in Adam Kasher. Ervona Shakle Mine. Understand what does he do? He takes an Ervon, he takes a collateral, meaning Akash Baruch Hu says, look, I know you're not going to mourn over an Adam Kasher, so you know what? I'm taking your children away when they're young. The Gemara says that's not how Akash Baruch Hu operates. So, we're going to go the other way. Meaning that he wasn't misabal on Adam Kasher. So the Gemara says, because we know that if a person is mourning in Adam Kasher, so he'll be forgiven for all of his sins. So in other words, it's required to mourn over an Adam Kasher. And not only mourn, but do kriya as well. So, if the person who died is not your relative, and even if he's not a Talmid Chacham, but if he's an Adam Kasher, you also have a mitzvah to do kriya. So, L'tzricha d'lav Adam Kasher, who is the Gemara, says, okay, fine. So, our mission is talking about somebody who's not an Adam Kasher. And the Gemara says, but there's one other thing to consider, which is that if you were there for Yitzias Neshama, so then you have a mitzvah to do kriya. Did Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Ha'omed al Hamez B'shas Yitzias Neshama Chayv L'Kroa Ha'alamad Zedomer L'Sefer Torah Shenisrafa. It's no different than Sefer Torah burning. So again, Lo Tzricha D'Lokai B'shas Yitzias Neshama. So the Gemara says, okay, so you weren't there for Yitzias Neshama as well. So, in general, there is a mitzvah for you to do Kriya for a relative, for a Talmid Chacham, for an Adam Kasher. If you're there for Yitzias Neshama, you have a mitzvah to do kriya. Otherwise, you don't have a mitzvah to do kriya. Our Mishnah that says that your pater is talking about when there's no mitzvah to do kriya. Meaning, it's not any of the aforementioned. We did a great job resolving one discrepancy between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Braisa says that your chayv is when you need to do kriya. The Mishnah says your pater is when you don't need to do kriya. Here's the problem. Our Mishnah says that if I tear because I'm angry, I'm going to be chayev. Our Mishnah says you're going to be potter, and the Braisa says you're going to be chayev. So the Gemara says, Chamasu chamasu kasha, chamasu chamasu namelo kasha, HaRabbi Yehuda, HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbi Yehuda damar melech shein tzrich legufa chayev aleha, HaRabbi Shimon damar melech shein tzrich legufa potter aleha. So the Gemara turns this into the classic debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda on the topic of Melach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. Not the best place to stop, but I'm out of time. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll discuss more about this idea of Melach HaShein Tzrich L'Gufa. I'll discuss, you brought it up. I'll discuss tomorrow what about Mitzvah Haba B'Aveira. If you're doing Kriya on Shabbos, you are doing a mitzvah, but by doing so you're also doing an Aveira. So why should it work? We'll talk about that as well tomorrow. That doesn't come up in our Gemara. That comes up in the Yerushalmi. And we'll continue tomorrow.